Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood with Mary Margaret West.
Hey.
And John Paul Basham.
Yo.
We're looking forward to another trip down student ministry lane. But before we get in the car and start rolling on our little trip together, why don't you take just a second and head over to iTunes and leave that rating and review. Remember to write words and hit the stars. It helps other student ministry leaders find the podcast. While you're there, if you haven't hit the subscribe button, do that. And we will say thank you in advance for you doing that. So thank you for subscribing and leaving the rating and review. We surely appreciate it. One of the topics that comes up all the time in student ministry and when we're around and talking to student pastors, more so in off-the-record kind of conversations, but still an important issue, is the issue of having difficult conversations with people. Primarily, this is around parents and having difficult conversations with parents. And so that's what we're going to spend our time talking about today, because this is going to happen at some point in student ministry with you. You're going to have a difficult conversation with parents. And even as we were talking about this episode before we pressed the record button and launched in here, John Paul made a really important distinction and caused a title change for us, because I think most often we default to these are difficult people we're having these conversations with, when in reality, most of the time, it is just a difficult conversation with a person. And that difference is subtle in the way that you think about it, but really, really important. And so John Paul made that distinction right before we turned on all the equipment here, and producer Nathan started working his magic.
We're thankful for the magic.
Yeah.
Way to go, Nathan.
We have to give Nathan a shout out from time to time. The work is so extensive that we've got to give you a shout out every now and then. But the reality of that subtle distinction between difficult conversations with people and conversations with difficult people is massive in your mind. And it kind of launches us into the very first piece of how to have a difficult conversation with a parent. And that's the foundation that you start with. And so I want to encourage you to approach these conversations assuming the best about people. Assuming thinking the best about the parent that you're about to have this conversation with. Because more often than not, their angle is what they feel like is best for their student, or to correct something that they feel like might be harmful to their student, or something around the idea of what's best for their teenager. They are the parent. And so in this conversation, you're going to get so much further if you start off with a positive attitude and assume the best about the person you're getting ready to talk to.
Yeah, and I think a part of that is finding a way, even whether this is a difficult conversation with a parent or it's a conversation with a difficult parent.
Because that does happen from time to time, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're able to come into that conversation from a place of love,
yeah,
and service to that parent, really embracing your role as a shepherd in the body of Christ, then you're going to be able to have that conversation from a completely different perspective than if you're entering with a defensive spirit,
yeah,
or assuming the worst, like you were saying. If you're just assuming, man, they're a horrible parent to begin with, I need to, you know, straighten them out. I need to teach them. I need to help them understand who their student really is, you know, or help them develop some better habits.
That's dangerous.
Man. But I've entered conversations, yeah, from that perspective before.
Yeah, me too. I think if you enter the conversation thinking it's going to be a fight, it will be one.
Oh, yeah.
And that I've done that too. And it might like feel kind of cool at the beginning, but it doesn't at the end. It never ends well.
Yeah.
So if you feel like it's going to be a fight going into it, it will be.
And I think you've got to keep in mind that student ministry is one one aspect of the things that a parent is thinking about in the development of their kid,
yeah.
you
so
know, their
true.
Student. And then for you, it is the one thing that you're thinking about. Like, it's the main thing. And for them, it's just one piece. And so they're trying to figure out how all these pieces play in together. And yours is a part of that whole picture.
Yeah. And while we might think that student ministry needs to be the most important thing in that teenager's life or in that family's life, the reality is that it's probably not. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It really is okay for mm-hmm. you, for student ministry to not be the most important thing in their lives. Now, you know, there's hopefully spiritual disciplines and discipleship and things like that are happening in the home. But if they're not, then this moment, like John Paul was saying, could be a shepherding moment to help them see how student ministry can partner with them in the spiritual development of their teenager. And when you approach it that way, then the conversation is going to start off on a lot better footing than it could have. And I would just throw in too, try to not have difficult conversations on the spur of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sensing that the conversation is going to a direction where you're getting agitated or the parent is getting frustrated or agitated, if it's around a crowd of people, try to say, let's set up an appointment to where so we can really talk about this. I would love to talk to you about this. Let's find time to do that. That way you can get your mind right and begin with this solid foundation before you enter into this difficult conversation. So try not to do it on the spur of the moment when you're not prepared.
Something that I think a lot of student pastors enter these kind of conversations with is a belief that they know how to parent these teenagers because they do life with teenagers every day. You know, I'm around these kids in school. You know, this is what I've dedicated my life to. I've read books. Listen, if you hadn't parented a teenager, you don't know what it's like to parent a teenager.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I say that as someone who hasn't parented a teenager.
Yep.
So I'm in the club too. I've parented a 4- and 5-year-old, and I didn't have a fat clue what that was going to be like either.
Yeah.
But don't make the assumption that you know how to do it. You may be able to identify some problems in how someone else is doing it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make you the expert.
No.
Yeah, it's true. And that doesn't make you less of a youth pastor. I think for a while, that's what I pushed back against, is because I wanted to be a really great youth pastor and I wanted to make a difference in these students' lives. And calling is wrapped up in this.
Yep.
And so there's a great passion for that. Recognizing that you don't know how to parent a teenager as someone who has never done it doesn't make you less of a student pastor. It makes you wise in how you handle situations. I have a 7th grader now, and a phrase that I've used a lot over the last year is pastoring a teenager is very different than parenting a teenager.
Yeah.
And I think when you get that straight in your mind, it will help you deal in difficult conversations with wisdom.
So these are kind of some foundational ideas to approach a hard conversation with. Ben, if you were going to tell somebody what they needed to do, what some helpful and appropriate steps would be to get ready for the conversation. Let's say you've been successful in staving off the spur of the moment conversation,
yeah.
or you just know one's coming that needs to be had.
Right.
What do you need to do to prep for that conversation to be as healthy as it can be?
Yeah, I think one of the things you've got to do is identify the issue that they're coming with. So if you have, hey, I'd like to make an appointment with you, or you get an email or something like that, then I think it's okay to ask, what's this in reference to? I'll just talk to you about that when I get there. Don't push, totally fine, but you know, do a little digging. take a look at the small group roster and see who else is in their class. See who else is in their group. If you're close to leaders and your students and you kind of have the pulse of what's going on, listen, chances are you're going to know when a difficult conversation is coming. There mm-hmm. will be very few times where you won't be able to get pretty close to what the issue is.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be something that happened that you are aware of, or someone else made you aware of it. And so you're going to know. So if you don't know the issue, try to feel that out a little bit. If you do know the issue and you're not prepared to talk about that, then this is an awesome opportunity to call other student pastors that you're in community with. If you have a network of student ministry leaders that you kind of have connected with and you'll bounce ideas off of each other, get wisdom from other people. Hopefully you have some of those people in your circle that are a lot older than you that you can call that this person walked through this and this is how they handled it poorly or how they handled it the right way. You can get wisdom there. And I think anytime there's a difficult conversation, you can file this under, I don't want my bosses to ever be surprised moments. Yeah. We've talked about on the podcast before, yes. Like lead in such a way to keep surprises at a minimum for your bosses. This is one of those. And many times your minister of education or next gen pastor or whatever you call it at your church or your senior pastor will be able to give you insight even into the family maybe that you don't know about. So if this is a difficult conversation that's coming, but you know about this family now that, hey, they're about to go through a divorce, or the father just lost his dad, or there's a sickness that's going on. Like there's something that your other staffers know about that could inform your decision.
Yeah.
Because, man, a lot of times the issue may not be what happened in your student ministry. That's just one thing. And the aggressiveness or the difficult piece of that comes from everything else that's swirling around in their lives. And it just is happening. This is where the attention fell.
Yeah.
And so it helps to know a history and for your pastor to not be surprised. So those are some of the things that I would do. And then again, like if we can borrow from the foundation thing, man, enter into the conversation without a defensive mindset. Yeah. And like I said earlier, if you go into it thinking it's going to be a fight, it's going to be. Yeah. Try to enter it calmly. Try to enter it without a defensive mindset. Man, the times that I entered conversations already defensive and just being like, I'm going to make my point and I'm going to stand my ground. It was just poor leadership and immaturity on my part.
Yeah.
Assume the best. Remember, we did the foundation stuff. So if you have that groundwork laid and you enter into this conversation having sought wisdom and talked to your pastor and say, I'm going to go into this completely non-defensive. Those are some things that you can do to prepare.
And even when it is more on the difficult conversation side of things, sometimes you may assume that you're part of the problem, but they're looking to you to be part of the solution. And so sometimes we can get those ideas in our head of going, this is going to be really tough because I'm going to have to like stand up for myself or whatever. When they're going, I just need somebody to hear me out and they can help me with my student with this thing that maybe nobody knows that's going on.
Yeah.
And sometimes those hard conversations or difficult conversations can surprise us, but we've just got to be aware and be prayerful as we walk into those things. And,
yeah.
You know, begin and end a meeting like that, you know, where appropriate by praying and just by saying, Lord, would you, you know, guide our conversation and our thoughts, let it honor you. And I think if you set that tone from the beginning or if they set that tone, it changes the way the rest of the conversation is going to go.
That's right.
Man, I think knowing the facts like you were talking about is such a big deal. When somebody calls you and says, I need to talk, and, you know, asking that
nobody
question.
Nobody likes those words.
What is that?
We need to talk.
Yeah.
That's true.
What
like
does that mean?
In any setting, nobody wants to hear
like
that.
If you walked past my desk and said, we need to talk, I would immediately, all the blood would run down to my feet. And I'd go, what have I done wrong? Like, what, am I about to get fired? Like, even if you're like, hey, we just need to chat about girls' conference or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think those words are, like, terrifying words.
You're right.
To people.
Yeah. So making sure that you know as many facts as you can going in, I think is such a big deal. And I love that you mentioned being able to go to other staff members if possible. You don't want to go to friends of the family because mm-mm. this is just going to be a gossip circle.
Totally, yeah.
But going to other staff members and saying, hey, I'm going to have this conversation. What can you tell me about the family? That's a big deal because everybody is hurting somehow.
Yeah.
And it very much could be the case. I think you're dead on.
Everybody hurts.
I think you're dead on when you say that this may just be where the focus fell, but it may not be where the root of all of the problems are. Yeah. The other side of this in having the conversation with difficult parents
right.
sometimes is that they're not calling the meeting, you're calling the meeting.
Mm. Yeah.
And you've used the words, we need to talk.
Yeah, and in that case, a lot of times we have in mind the facts that we want to have in mind. We don't necessarily have in mind all the facts that are pertinent to the conversation.
Yeah, that's good.
Because we've let our emotion drive the fact that we're saying we need to have this conversation.
Yeah.
So I think on both sides of that, having as many facts at our fingertips as possible that drive the conversation and that kind of frame the conversation in is important. And so the next thing beyond that, I would say, in prepping for the meeting is having an agenda for the meeting. And it may not be that you lay a piece of paper down and say, these are the five things that I'm going to need us to walk through over the next 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But that you've got it on your computer screen, you know, or on your phone, whatever, that you can walk through and say, okay, these are the things we're going to talk about. Because in the emotion of a hard conversation, sometimes you get onto a tangent, you say things you didn't intend to say, that you weren't ready to say, that you didn't mean to say.
Yep.
Yeah.
And just having the facts, being ready, understanding what questions need to be answered, where you need to gain understanding from them,
yep.
how you can shepherd them in each one of those things, how you can love them. If you've got that down on paper, that conversation is going to go a lot better.
Yeah, that's great.
And even the paper part of it, to me, I think like in a notebook or on a sheet of paper, because it's so easy to look distracted when you're on your phone or looking at your computer. There's something about that in a moment of like when you're dealing with something difficult that looks like you're distracted or you're not interested, and you've just got to be present.
Yeah.
I think one thing that I would say on this before we move to the third phase and actually having the conversation is something that I wish I would have done more of, and that's just be willing to take the blame.
Yeah.
That's good.
Like mm-hmm. just go into the conversation not thinking that you've done everything right, but leave room for the reality to be that maybe this parent is right.
Yeah.
And maybe this is a growth moment for you and not just them. And that you need to maybe own some stuff in this conversation. So be willing, go into the conversation being willing to take the blame and be humble.
And I think a lot of that comes in praying before the meeting.
Yeah.
And just asking the Lord to show up in that meeting, to give you wisdom, to help you understand where you need to take responsibility and how you need to be speaking to that parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we come to the conversation, right? So you have this foundation in your mind. You've prepared. And some of you are like, man, this is a lot just for a conversation. Can I just talk to this person and get it over with? Well, that's the problem. So we need to put a little more effort into this. And you can... Listen, everything that we've talked about, you can do in an hour. Yep. Aside maybe from talking to other staff members and getting the history of the family, which you can do in a phone call.
Well, it depends on the gravity of the conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
Some of these you're going to want a week.
Yeah.
Some of these you just need to spend a few minutes getting ready.
Right.
But either way, don't just shoot from the hip.
Yeah. And I think it's like anything else, too. Like once you have done the foundation work kind of in your mind a couple times, I think you naturally begin to slide into that mode where you assume the best upon people and those kinds of things. So now, Mary Margaret, we're in the conversation.
In the war room.
Whoa.
That's right. We have sat down somewhere with – this person, this parent, to have a difficult conversation? What are some things to keep in mind, how to communicate when you're in the moment itself?
It's really easy. Like for me, I'm a talker and I'm a fixer. And so I tend to run people over sometimes verbally if I'm not careful. And I have to, in a situation like that, just like in that stupid analogy that like I have 2 ears and one mouth for a reason, like really turn on my ears, you know, and just sit there and go and let them know that they've been heard.
Yeah.
Because so much of it, there are a lot of conversations that seem super difficult that somebody just wants to know that you've heard them and that you understand what they're saying and that you hear it at the end of the day. And sometimes it can be diffused as easy as the conversation happening itself. And they just go, thanks for listening. Like, I really just needed to get that off my chest. And it's not something they're looking for you to fix or whatever. They're just looking to be heard.
Yeah.
And two, just know too, that you can't fix everything all at once. And so just take it one thing at a time. And if you're confused by something that they're saying, look at them and say, I don't know that I really understood that. Can you reiterate, you know, and just use those basic communication skills that you would use, you know, in a lot of other scenarios to make sure that you fully grasp what's going on, that you're fully in the conversation and that you're really paying attention to what's happening right in front of you, that you're a part of it, that you don't look distracted.
Yeah. I love the listen first.
Mm-hmm.
So important.
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Something that I would say on this, I think probably should have gone in the prep section, but maybe in this section too, is so based on your gender and the gender of the person that you need to have the difficult conversation with,
yep,
you either need to prepare to have someone else present or the location that you have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But in the middle of it, you need to be able to know when to stop that conversation,
yep,
to either bring someone else in or come back at another time.
Yeah.
So if you've done the foundation, you've prepped, you're in the middle of the conversation. Let's say you're a male student pastor and you're having this meeting with a mom, either, you know, parents are divorced or dad couldn't come, he's work, whatever. All right. Fill in the blank. But it's opposite gender conversation. Then you need to know when to draw the line and say, hey, I think for us to continue talking about this, we need to invite someone else into this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be prepared in your mind for those things.
Yeah.
If the conversation, so take gender thing aside now, if the conversation is really heated and it's not getting to resolution and it's just escalating and mm-hmm. escalating and escalating, you need to know when the point is that you will call the meeting and say, hey, I think for us to get through this, in a biblical way, we're going to need a mediator to come in and help us talk about this
mm-hmm.
in a way that brings us to resolution or
yeah.
in a way that serves you best.
Mm-hmm.
I think knowing when to kind of stop it and get help is is something to consider.
And I think especially when you're in a difficult conversation or, you know, or with a difficult person, there is something about putting a period at the end of a sentence. Like if they're wanting more from you than you can actually give, sometimes you just have to go, I'm really sorry, and then just stop talking. Or, you know, I really hate that this is what happened, and just stop talking. Like, I think so often we just want to continue to say the same kind of thing over and over. And sometimes you just have to put a period at the end of the sentence. And if then they're not satisfied with that after a few minutes, that's when you say, hey, we need to move this to a different type of conversation, you know, bring somebody else in or revisit it later after we've had time to think about it, pray about it or whatever. But sometimes people just need somebody to put an end to the end of, you know, period at the end of the sentence. And two, again, depending on the gender situation and all of that, I've learned that some people, if they just keep talking, if you will put a hand on their shoulder, especially if you're standing, if you'll put a hand on their shoulder, a lot of times they'll stop talking. And it's one of these like strange communication things. But sometimes like and obviously you have to know the like where you are in the conversation and whether or not that is appropriate at all to do, because some people would probably jump back if you tried to touch them.
Or just like punch you.
Yes. Or punch you in the face. So
you
don't
be careful.
Yes.
There.
Be very careful. But sometimes somebody in wanting to be heard is just going to continue to talk. And so figure out ways that you can have that conversation, whether it's you talking to a counselor ahead of time, knowing what's going on, and just maybe some techniques and methods, or just saying, hey, you know, just kind of wrangling the conversation back to say, hey, we need to revisit this another day or another way.
Yeah.
One last thing that I might say about having the conversation would be to make sure to leave that conversation with some kind of actionable resolution. So you've had this conversation, and so now what's coming of this conversation? I think the first things that need to come out of your mouth in an action step would be ways that you are going to serve them. How can I help you in what we've talked about? How can I serve you in what we've talked about?
And actually asking them that question.
Yeah.
Not just thinking in your mind what that is and saying it, but actually saying, what do you need in this?
Yeah. There may be sometimes that you need to ask the person or people that you're having conversation with to do some things for you. I've always found it's easier to say everything that you're going to do for them first.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that that's what they need from you. Get those things clarified. And then if there's a gentle way to say, hey, can you do this one thing for me?
Yeah.
Then there's something to move forward in. When you don't do that and you have this really hard conversation and you feel like, oh, we got to, you know, I felt like it was okay when we left, but there's not a next step, they're going to leave your office or wherever you've met and say, okay, well, I don't actually know what just happened.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have another conversation.
Right. Where everything is restated again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful to you as you consider difficult conversations with parents in your ministry. Like we said off the top, the reality is there's going to be a moment where difficult conversations need to happen, and you need to be thinking about those difficult conversations before they wind up in your office. So sometimes they're difficult people. Most often, it's difficult conversations with parents who really care a lot about their child and want to talk to you about that. So work on the foundation, do your prep, have the conversation, and thinking the whole time, how can I serve this family and further discipleship that's taking place in their life and the life of their teenager? We want to remind you as we go out about the Lifeway Girls Conference happening in Nashville and in Dallas. September 14th in Nashville, September 21st in Dallas. Head to lifeway.com/LGC. It stands for Lifeway Girls Conference. To find out more information, we would love to have you at either one of those locations.
Or both.
Or
come on.
Or both. All right, we'll see you next time.
Peace.